Saga Egmont presents Ditched for Murder by J.C. Eaton. Read by Laurence Bouvard. Chapter 1. Peoria, Arizona.
Listen to your mother for once, Fee. Hold off on turning on that air conditioner. You should wait as long as you can so you don't pay a fortune to those utility companies.
Maybe you can put it off, but you've been living out here for at least a decade. Your blood's probably as thin as water.
Mine's not. Well, it won't thin out unless you put it to the test.
I'm not going to sweat to death to prove a point, I said. I've only been out here a few months, and my blood's as thick as sludge. Heavy Minnesota sludge.
Or have you forgotten what it's like back there?
Forgotten? I can't even look at a Norman Rockwell holiday card without shivering. Trust me, honey, you'll get used to the heat.
This from the woman who installed a small portable air conditioner in her back bedroom for the dog. It was a conversation I'd had a few days ago with my mother, Harriet Plunkett, and it was a typical one for us. Very little had changed since then, until the murders. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I stood at the thermostat, debating whether or not to break down and turn on the air conditioning, like I did every summer back in Mankato, Minnesota. But this wasn't summer. It was late April. April in Peoria, Arizona, and approaching 95 degrees. The ceiling fans in my small rental casita could only do so much. I made the move to Arizona so I could handle the bookkeeping for a friend of mine, Nate Williams. He was a retired police officer from Mankato who started his own private investigation firm near Phoenix. Nate convinced me to take a year's leave of absence from my job in accounts receivable at the Mankato Police Department and move to a place where I'd never be bothered with snow or ice again. All he had to do was remind me of the Super Target incident the winter before, and he knew I'd jump at the chance to move to Arizona. The humiliation of opening my car door, taking a step, and falling face first on the icy pavement still appeared in my nightmares. The worst part was being unable to stand and having the two 20-something guys from the car next to mine hoist me up and plop me back into the driver's seat. Worse yet, they kept calling me ma'am. Ma'am? When did I become a ma'am? I was only in my 40s. And I can still pull off a two-piece at the beach. Maybe if it wasn't winter and I didn't have a bulky coat and long scarf covering up my figure, they wouldn't have used that awful word. And why did I tell Nate about the stupid incident in the first place? It gave him leverage. Leverage he used to talk me into moving near my mother in Arizona. I still remembered every word he said.
Come on, kiddo. You don't want another icy parking lot incident, do you? You've got nothing to lose. Your daughter's teaching in St. Cloud, your ex-husband has been off the grid for years, and nothing is holding you back. Besides, you'll love the area. And you've got the advantage. You're already familiar with it.
I'm familiar with my mother's small retirement community, and it's a wacky one at that. Or have you forgotten?
How could I possibly have forgotten about Sun City West's book curse and all those unrelated deaths that scared everyone in a 50-mile radius of the place? We can thank your mother's book club for that.
So now you want me to live there? Near all of my mother's friends? The same batty crew from Booked for Murder? That's the name of their club, you know. I think my mother thought it up. Anyway, those women had me chasing all over the place a year ago to find a non-existent killer. That's where you want me to live?
Not there. Near there. You're much too young to think about retirement communities.
If that's your way of buttering me up,
you need to do better.